Second reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's turn there together. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli which I have spoken, all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a pretty famous passage. People talk about this passage, you know, that in the middle of the night, you know, the Lord spoke audibly to Samuel, and Samuel didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. Three times he went to Eli to say, Of course you called me. Here I am. What is it? We note, first of all, the compliance of Samuel. Children, let me ask you something. What would you do if your parents called you in the middle of the night? What would you do? What would you do if you thought you heard your father's voice in the middle of the night? Would you do that? Or would you say, here am I? Okay. Maybe you'd say, here am I. What about the second time? What about the third time? Well, Samuel's a good example, isn't he? But there's more. More than just that example. The other example of Samuel is that here he is a child and a prophet. Children, you don't need to wait to draw near to the Lord when you're older. You can draw near today, no matter what age you are. You can draw near to the Lord. And for those of you that have heard maybe from other quarters, you'll never hear that in this church. I'm waiting until I get to my adulthood to get serious with the Lord. Don't you do it. Because you don't know if you're going to make it to your adulthood or not. Only the Lord knows that. And it is presumption to think anything else. Do not wait to draw near to the Lord. Samuel gives us a very good example here of one who drew near to the Lord at a very early age, while he was yet called a child, still answering to his father, Eli, who was his adoptive father. As obedient as he was in Eli's house, still he was a child and answered then to the Lord in that way. In other words, his refusal to pull the covers up over his head when he was called the first time was parlayed by the Lord into obedience unto the Lord as well. If you're laying down the habits of not listening to your parents now, how do you know that you will listen when the Lord calls, beloved? How do you know? If your habit, however, is of listening to your parents and obeying them, then when the Lord calls, you will be the much more prepared to answer his call as well. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? We have a wonderful example of a young boy that shames many of us adults in his godliness, in his ability to hear the Lord, in his mind to obey immediately whatever the Lord told him. So, it says that at the beginning of this chapter, that two things about Samuel. He didn't know the Lord, and he had never heard the word of the Lord. Both of those things are true. That is, he had never been called as a prophet. But then, having heard the word of the Lord in teaching and other general, ordinary ways like we do, he was not yet, at the beginning of this chapter, one whose heart was drawn to the Lord. Yet in this chapter, we see Samuel's conversion and his installation as a prophet of the Lord. And that as a child. So children, you don't need to wait. Your career with the Lord can start today, no matter what age you are. Say yes. Say what Samuel said. Here am I. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? Say that. Because today, you know how the Lord calls you? Don't expect a dream, don't expect a vision, and don't expect an audible voice in the middle of the night. Expect the Lord to speak to you through the voice of your minister. Right? Now, I don't do this in preaching, but it would be appropriate perhaps in another venue for me to say, each of your names, as the Lord called to Samuel, Samuel! I could start naming your names here. Because through the preaching of the word, beloved, the Lord is calling all of you to him. Just like he called Samuel. Shall we hear him? That's the question, isn't it? Okay, so we have that very quaint story at the beginning here. The three times that the Lord calls Samuel, he doesn't recognize it's the voice of the Lord. Oh, beloved, recognize the voice of the Lord when he calls. Sometimes you may need someone to tell you, that's the voice of the Lord. That's his word. Hear it. And so the fourth time, notice that there was a doubling. Samuel, Samuel! And that speaks of its urgency. Samuel, I have something for you and something to tell you. I have something for you, that is, I have a new heart for you. And I have something to tell you that you may relate it to Eli. Well, it says that there was no open vision in those days. Eli knew why that was true. He knew it was because of the sinfulness of his house. His sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. He had options to him that were available to him, but he never used them. He could have deposed them from the priesthood, or he could have called the civil authorities, because what they did was punishable civilly as well, as Job tells us in Job 31. Right? Adultery is a crime to be punished by the judges. Now, we don't do that anymore. Our judges rather encourage it. But it is a crime to be punished by the judges. And so that could have been done in Eli's day. They had the book of Job by that time. Or perhaps at least the understanding of it. Job had that understanding. But it was not done. Eli did not restrain his sons. He did not. He didn't do anything to discourage them, except he offered them once a what we might call a toothless lecture. So parents, beware of toothless lectures, right? Okay, so that's the first section. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's the answer that every godly heart desires to give. That's the answer that Samuel gave when he had a new heart. Right? Now in verse 11, the Lord will reveal to Samuel what he's about to do, and that is that he's about to bring the house of Eli down. Every bit of it. The house of Eli will have no offspring left to it. There will have to be another high priest come up from another son of Aaron. Eli's house will not continue. Eli's dynasty as the high priest is about to come to a crashing and tragic end for the sins of his sons. It says in the narrative, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile or accursed, and he restrained them not. That is, he never frowned upon them. That's the literal Hebrew understanding. He never frowned upon them. That is, he never discouraged them. He only gave them a toothless lecture. All right, so Samuel gets up in the morning in typically modest fashion. He avoids Eli. I don't want to say what the Lord told me about Eli's house. But then Eli, as the high priest and official in the church, says to him, tell me, don't hide a thing. God do the same and more unto thee if you fail to mention anything of what was said. Well, Eli had authority to do that, to draw him under a curse like that as the high priest. You'll remember that when Christ himself was tried, that he's silent until the high priest says, I adjure thee by the living God. Tell me, art thou the Son of the Blessed? That's the only answer he gave all through that mock trial. Why? Because the high priest had such authority to command that he was a true church officer. That's right. Well, Eli does the same thing. Samuel gives him the full answer. Everything. And notice Eli's resignation to the will of the Lord. Well, we have a division among Bible interpreters. I find myself looping back and forth between those two. Maybe both things are true. Whenever the Lord tells you, I'm going to judge you, we want to remember the moral interpretation of prophecy, that whenever the Lord advertises a judgment, we should take it as unto repentance. That the Lord will draw back from the judgments that he said he would exact upon us if we repent. So every announcement of future judgment is an invitation to repent. Is that how Eli heard it? Mm-mm. Should he have heard it that way? I believe so. Rather, he received it with quiet resignation. What is the resignation? It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good to him. And while there may be something commendable in this, it is not commendable that Eli never sought repentance, never sought the fruits meet for repentance. He never sought to restrain his sons, even after hearing that that judgment would come through the mouth of his son Samuel. He was never moved to action to stamp out the sin in his house. And this is not commendable at all. So while there may be something in the quiet resignation of Eli that we might find commendable, there is so much glaring omission that we want also to make sure we talk about that. Beloved, if you ever hear of God's judgments coming upon you, if you are reading along in the scripture someday and the Lord brings a passage crashing down to your conscience, this is me, this is my family, this is talking about us, your response ought never to be, well, it's the Lord, let him do what he wants. Let us repent. Let us turn from the wickedness and sin that the Lord said he would judge. Who knows, like the Ninevites, whether the Lord will leave a blessing instead. This is what we know about our God, and it is what we ought to pursue with our God whenever we hear those kinds of judgments. All right, thus ends the